So our next presenter from the University of Florida is Katie Rogers, and she's going to be presenting on manipulating flowering time in citrus using a TAL-based effector switch. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I've been a student in Dr. Moore's lab for the past 2 years, and this has been my project. So as you all probably know, citrus is a very important crop in Florida and in the world. You may also know that right now the citrus industry is threatened by numerous diseases. And one of the obstacles that breeders come into contact to when they're trying to breed for disease resistance and for other horticultural traits is that the juvenility period, which is the time it takes from seed to flowering, can take like up to 10 years. So you can imagine that to make all the crosses and back crosses that you need to produce a commercial variety, it can take quite a while. Our lab knows of at least 3 genes that are involved in citrus flowering, and these are citrus FT1, FT2, and FT3. We've worked in our lab and looking at these 3 genes, expressing them constitutively or turning them always on. And what we found is that FT3 seems to be the most effective at inducing early flowering. In tobacco, this is what we saw when we constantly expressed the FT3. Wild-type tobacco took 157 days to flower, whereas the transgenic FT3 took only 53 days. And this is what happens when that same construct is used in citrus. When you express the citrus FT3 constitutively, you get flowers, which is really cool, but they flower on the plate, which means that you can't produce X plants from this transformation. So the goal of my research is to be able to time that citrus flowering by using a chemical so that you would be able to generate plants and then make them flower earlier at a time that's convenient. What my system needs to be is specific to FT3 and not to FT1 or FT2, which are very similar. They have very similar sequences to FT3. And it needs to be chemically inducible but with low background expression so that it's not on when the chemical is not present. And also it needs to be safe to use in the field. So to accomplish these objectives, what we've designed is a TAL effector or a transcriptional activator-like effector that is inducible by the chemical methoxyfenazide. Methoxyfenazide is a good chemical to use because it's already registered for use in citrus and it can be sold commercially as the chemical Intrepid. So what exactly is a transcriptional activator-like effector, or a TAL, as I'll be calling it from now on? These are proteins that were originally discovered in Xanthomonas bacteria. In Xanthomonas, these proteins will bind and recognize the specific promoter sequences and activate host gene expression to turn on genes that are beneficial to that bacteria for infection. The specificity of these TALs is dictated by repetitive domains that recognize specific nucleotides within the sequence. So you can engineer a TAL protein so that it will bind specifically to your promoter region of choice. And that's what we've decided to do. So here's kind of a graphic to help better explain what I mean by this. Here we have like a region of the FT3 endogenous promoter sequence, the one that's like already in your citrus plant. What we want is a TAL protein that will come in and recognize and bind to this region of the gene. Each one of these rectangles in this image represents a repetitive protein module. And each one of those is exactly identical except for 2 variable amino acid repeat domains. Those 2 variable amino acids dictate where that protein will recognize the sequence and bind to. So for example, if you wanted to bind to a C or to a cytosine, the repeat variable dye residue or the amino acids that are different would be an HD. And likewise, if you wanted for it to recognize a T, you need to have an NG there, and for an A, an NI, a G, an NH, and so on. So this system is good for what we're doing because it allows you to be very specific to your sequence. And it will allow us to target FT3, and we shouldn't have to worry about turning on FT1 or FT2. So typically, TALs when people use them in research, they're constitutively expressed, but we want ours to be chemically inducible. So we've added on a VP16 activation domain and an ECR gene switch. And so this means that when you apply methoxyfenazide, it will go and it will recognize the ECR gene switch, and this will allow that protein to enter the nucleus. Once it's in the nucleus, the tau region of this protein will recognize the endogenous citrus FT3 promoter, and then you can begin transcription and translation and eventually have your protein and result in flowering. Doing it indirectly like this helps cut down on the background expression. So the first step in doing this was, of course, to find a specific FT3 promoter binding site. So what we did was we designed primers for FT1 and FT3 using information from the genomic database. We didn't design primers for FT1 because we now believe that FT2 is allelic to FT1, so those primers would be the same. Once we had the primers designed, we extracted DNA from various citrus species, including pumelo, pancirus, carrizo, pineapple sweet orange, and Duncan grapefruit. So once we had that DNA extracted, we sequenced it and aligned the sequences. And we were very lucky because we found that there is a region that is specific just to FT3 and not to FT1 and FT2. And it has enough base pair differences for us to use that site. Some of the specifications for making a tau is that it has to be 18 nucleotides in length, and it has to be upstream from the tata box, which is a site that accumulates transcription factors. The site we chose is about 200 base pairs upstream from the FT3 coding sequence. So once we had that sequence picked out, we blasted it into the genomic database to make sure that it was specific just to citrus and wouldn't activate any other genes that we weren't aware of, and it was unique. So then we had a kit that we ordered from this website here, and it comes with all the primers and the plasmids that you need to be able to assemble a tau in the order that you choose. So once the tau was made, we put it into a plant expression plasmid vector that has an FMV promoter, which is a constitutive promoter. It's a lot like the more commonly used 35S promoter, and it's derived from that same Kallimo virus. And then we had the promoter, and then the tau, and then the VP16 ECR fused gene that makes it chemically inducible. So the first assay that we did was transient expression in citrus. And this is temporary expression that you can measure with real-time PCR. This was ideal for me because it only takes 5 days to do this experiment, and we could kind of get an idea from this whether it would work. So the experimental design is as follows. We used 3 replicates for each treatment. We infiltrated with agrobacterium that had our FT3 tau construct. And then 2 days later, we drenched one set with Intrepid 2F, which is the methoxyfenazide, and the other set with water. 3 days after that, we measured the FT3 expression levels using real-time PCR. And this is what we saw. These are just preliminary results at this point, but it does show promise that our system does seem to be working. Because if you'll see, we do have higher expression when Intrepid is applied. So the next steps in this project that we're going to take is to transform tobacco as a model. Of course, tobacco doesn't have citrus FT3 gene. So what we're going to do is a co-transformation that has the citrus FT3 promoter in front of GUS, which is a scorable marker, and then transform that along with the FT3 inducible tau. So if our construct does work, then what we would see when we stain the leaves is a blue color, but only when the methoxyfenazide is applied. Of course, the real test of knowing whether this will work is to transform citrus. But transforming citrus takes kind of quite a while to see results. But that is the ultimate test of whether or not this will work. I'd like to acknowledge everybody in Dr. Gloria Moore's lab for answering all 5 billion of my questions every day. and for the Citrus Research and Development Foundation for funding this project. Thanks. Is there any questions?
How are these genes induced naturally?
Naturally, there's like a number of factors that induce citrus flowering. It can be photo period or it can be day length. There's a lot of, it's not 100% certain. And we have like done some experiments with that to see, but what we wanted was something that you could control, like in that you would be able to use in the field to induce citrus flowering. No, that's a good question. So if you were doing this for a commercial application, it wouldn't be super useful to have little seedlings flower. Like you wouldn't be able to get like enough fruit off that to even make it worth having like a crew go in and pick. So the real advantage to this is actually for research and for citrus breeding. Because like the issue that we have like with citrus and making like resistant cultivars is that it can take like up to 20 years to be able to finally get something that's worthy of being produced. So that's kind of the goal with it. Like, I mean, eventually, like, you could maybe see that it could be used where you could maybe get two crops a year or something like that. But for, like, right now, the real purpose is for breeding. And doing it this way, you can make crosses sooner, and then the transgene, you would be able to segregate that out. So the final product of these crosses, you could have not transgenic, like it would be just a regular plant without the transgene in it. So that's kind of the cool. Oh, yes?
I missed the beginning, sorry. does citrus have the FLC, the flowering locus seed gene in it?
I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a lot of genes that control flowering in citrus. In Arabidopsis, they know of like the FT gene, and they found like genes that are similar to that. And there was a paper that was published that we got the sequences for the three FTs we know of, but I'm sure there are more that we don't know of. So. Thank you.